Let's bow our heads for a moment. Let's just take a moment and just think about what we said in our worship today. Take a moment and just consider the testimony, what it means to say that we have victory in the Lord. As your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, take a moment and just thank Him for that victory. It's not by accident. It wasn't a fluke. It was purposeful. And He took definitive action, the Lord Jesus did, to make that a reality in our lives. Dear Lord, we just thank You. Lord, we don't always think of ourselves as being victorious. Lord, I pray each and every one of us will know that we are intended to see ourselves as champions over sin. Champions, ultimately, even over death, not because of what we've done, but because of You, Lord, who live within us. We're not meant to go through this life as losers. The victory has been won by You. So, Lord, help us. Help us to see, Lord, the potential that we have as believers in the Lord Jesus, the potential to grow and to have our everyday lives changed by You, and the potential for You to work through us, Lord, the way You've equipped us for Your glory. So, Lord, may You take our worship time so far, and may You use that to get our attention, as now You bring us to the very Word of God. And I pray that each and every soul within the sound of My voice will listen intently and receive the Word today. Lord, I pray that You'll bless the reading and the teaching and the receiving of Your Word. You are our rock and our Redeemer. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, take your Bibles. Find 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And if you don't mind, I'm going to take a load off. I don't have a seat today. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and in your program, you can take your sermon notes out and follow along with me there. Oh, man. It feels good to sit down, doesn't it? What am I telling you? You guys sit through the sermon every week, right? So, you know. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Here's what the Bible says now concerning, verse 1, now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except the Holy Spirit. Now, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but the same God who empowers them all and everyone. Now, before I go any further, I probably need to say one thing. If you're a guest here with us today, first time ever with us, this isn't normally how I preach. To those who have been in service before, I assure you, there is a method to what maybe appears like madness. And dare I say, there's some of you that are a little uncomfortable if there isn't a method to this madness with me doing what I've just done. And I would say, rightly so. How dare I be so flippant with God's Word? How dare I just kick back on this sofa chair here and read the Lord's Word? How, you know, it's like I'm almost sleeping on the job. That's not what you're expecting. That's not what you would expect to see a preacher of the gospel do, would you? No. I shouldn't be sitting. I should be up serving God's Word. And indeed, you're right. In fact, if I were sitting in your chairs, I would be going, what is he doing? How dare he? And you're absolutely right. But here's the kicker. There really isn't that much difference between you and me. We're all called to go from sitting to serving. We're all called to not see ourselves in the audience, but to see ourselves in that victorious army. So today I hope, as I preach in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, as we share God's Word together, I hope that you won't ever, ever forget the difference between sitting and serving. Fathers, you'll have an opportunity today to talk to your children about what it means to be a person who doesn't sit, but someone who serves for the glory of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we get a we get some powerful lessons here. And the big picture is this. What I want you to see today is this. Is how can we go from sitting, from being kind of like couch potato Christians, how can we go from sitting to serving? Well, I'll tell you, here's the point. The Holy Spirit equips us, gifts us, equips us to serve. The Holy Spirit empowers and equips us to go from sitting to serving. We've learned some stuff in the past few weeks about the Holy Spirit. We've learned how the Holy Spirit is God, and the Holy Spirit isn't a thing, it's Him, and the Holy Spirit isn't just some impersonal force. The Holy Spirit is a real being, and the Holy Spirit lives within you as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. We've learned that never in the Bible are you commanded to receive the Holy Spirit. You're commanded to confess and repent of your sins and put your faith in Jesus, but you are automatically indwelt with the Holy Spirit. Last week, though, we did learn that you are commanded to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Remember, I kind of used that crude illustration of dropping a packet of Alka-Seltzer in a glass of water, but then I took another glass of water and I opened up the Alka-Seltzer and it kind of filled and activated that water. You see, each and every one of us, when I talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit, it's a whole issue of us, are we going to yield to the control of the Holy Spirit? Now today, as we finish up this kind of short series on the Holy Spirit, today I want you to see how this is the outcome of what the Holy Spirit desires to do in and through each of us. And notice, this comes at the end of the series, not at the beginning, because you need to have the foundation and you need to know that this is the Holy Spirit doing this work within you. But here is the outcome. The Holy Spirit equips us to serve. The Holy Spirit lives within you. The Holy Spirit desires to work in and through us. In fact, look back closely there. I just want to kind of give you some thoughts here to help us to remember this point today. Look there in verse 1. Let me read that again now that I'm standing. Listen, now concerning the spiritual gifts, brothers, he says, I don't want you to be ignorant. The King James says this, it says here in my translation, uninformed. The King James says ignorant. I kind of like that. I like the word ignorant. It's just a fun word to say, ignorant, you know? Especially if you put like my Carolina Southern drawl to it. You're not just ignorant, you're ignorant, all right? I mean, it's a little different, all right? That's the picture. It's someone who doesn't get it, someone who is misclassed that day. New American Standard Bible says unaware. Here it says uninformed. Well, listen, I want you to be informed, and I think that is one of the first things you got to take away from this to go from sitting to serving is simply, I want you to get informed. I want you to get the picture here of how the Holy Spirit equips you to serve. When you read this here, I just want you to see how the Holy Spirit's already been at work in your life. Verse 2 says, you know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand, no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And listen to this, no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. You see, listen, you have experienced, if you have confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have already experienced the Holy Spirit's work in your life. You have. The Bible says you can't sincerely confess Jesus as your Lord without the Holy Spirit working in and through you. So he gives that as the foundational thought that you have already experienced as believers in Christ. He's telling these Corinthian Christians, listen, the Holy Spirit's already worked in your life if you have sincerely said, Lord Jesus. And then he says in verse 4, then he says, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God. It's that same God who empowers them all and everyone, and to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. What he's saying is saying, listen, the same Spirit who empowered you, enabled you to confess Jesus as Lord to start with, is the same one who works through you to minister and to proclaim Jesus as Lord throughout your Christian life, throughout your ministry. He has equipped you and gifted you for such a task as this, for the common good. I want you to get informed today. I want you to understand that the Holy Spirit has been and is at work in your life. That the Holy Spirit has equipped you. Here in the Bible, it uses the word gifted you. And he's gifted us in a variety of ways. And it's interesting. At least four different places I can count. Here in 1 Corinthians 12, back in Romans chapter 12, over in Ephesians chapter 4, and in 1 Peter chapter 4, two chapter 12s, two chapter 4s, we see a reference to this being made. How the Holy Spirit equips us, gifts us as believers in Christ to serve for the glory of God. Four different places. And it's interesting, you have kind of somewhat of a list in some of these chapters of different ways the Holy Spirit has gifted us, but out of those 19, 20, 21 different gifts that are named, none of the lists, by the way, none of the four lists are exactly the same. They don't match. And I think one reason potentially behind that is the lists are somewhat representative. I think there's a bigger point being made here, is that the Holy Spirit has equipped all of you as believers in Christ. He's equipped all of you, some in different ways, but he's empowered, as verse 6 says, the same God has empowered them all and everyone. Verse 7, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit. The Spirit is at work in a very real way, in a manifested way in your life. Why? For the common good. So get informed about this. Understand that the Holy Spirit has worked in your life and is at work in your life, equipping you to serve for the glory of God. John MacArthur says it this way, I'll quote him, spiritual gifts are divine enablements for ministry that the Holy Spirit gives in some measure to all believers and that are to be completely under his control and used for the building of the church to Christ's glory. And he says this, and it's right from Scripture here, the test of any ministry is ultimately this. Does it proclaim Jesus as Lord? Because that is the ultimate mission of the Holy Spirit. Go back and read in the Gospel of John. We talked about the other week. The Holy Spirit's intent is to magnify the Lord Jesus, not himself. It's to bring attention. It's to lift up high the Lord Jesus. For instance, the test of any ministry that you and I do is this. How is it at proclaiming Jesus as Lord? Now, sometimes we overthink it. Sometimes you overthink it. I overthink it. You know, there are times, you know, I was talking to a brother after the 9:30 service today, and he was just talking about, you know, oh, man, he's on kind of this second or third shift schedule, working a job for VDOT right now. And you know what? In endeavoring to do that, it became apparent to me for me just to encourage him and say, you know what? Thank you for being willing to serve your family in that way. You know, he's being a servant by doing that. Is it his dream job? No. But is he serving his family by providing food to eat and a roof over their head? Yes. Is he being an example to his sons? Yes. And he's serving. Is that proclaiming to people Jesus is Lord? In many ways it is. Just in that ordinary task. We're doing this fall festival deal this afternoon, you know, like 4 to 7. And you know, and you're thinking, okay, man, I'm on the list to, like, you know, I volunteered to man this, you know, bouncy house deal. You know what I'm saying? The kids get in and jump like crazy and shake their brains around and stuff like that. And you're thinking, how is that proclaiming Jesus as Lord? Let me just give you an example from that, because that maybe is on your mind. You, let me inform you on that. God will use things like that, simple things like that, to build bridges to this community. To build bridges to this community. And just by your pleasant expression, I tell you, it's amazing. When we were on a mission trip in Colorado this past summer, we worked at a county fair doing the same type of stuff we're going to do tonight. And let me tell you what still, we'll have it happen out here. People are amazed that you will do anything anymore for free, aren't they? People will come up tonight, we'll offer them a hot dog, and they'll go, how much? And I told our church when we started, I said, listen, you know what? And I hope this is always the case. I said, listen, if we got to start, like, charging folks like they do, like, at amusement parks, then let's not do that part, okay? Or let's just try to do it as a gift, and we'll give away as many hot dogs as we can. But folks would come up at that carnival in Colorado, and they would be like, well, what's the catch? We've given away water bottles in front of Kroger and what used to be U-Crops. I call it the store formerly known as U-Crops. You know, it's like, I'm still going through all that, okay? I moved here as a Tidewater guy and got enamored with U-Crops, and now I'm having to relearn names and all this, but that's a whole other thing. That's just me venting. Understand this. We've given out free water bottles in front of the store, and people be like, what's up with this? You know? Understand the Holy Spirit works in and through you and equips you to serve. It might be a small way. Bottom line measure is this. How am I yielding my life for the Holy Spirit to proclaim Jesus as Lord? That same Holy Spirit, it says right here, who enabled you to proclaim Jesus as Lord to start with, is the same one who gifts you in a variety of ways, empowers them all and everyone, verse 7, and this manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So get informed. The Holy Spirit is at work within you. That's why over in 1 Peter it says this, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. But he goes on now and he starts to give more detail about how we allow the Holy Spirit to serve through us. And in verse 8, he begins to give some specifics. He says, to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit. And he kind of gives this list. Now, what you're not going to get in the remainder of this sermon is what I've preached before out of passages like this, and probably what you've heard before. You're going to get this nice, neat, suburban, Americanized, academic listing of all these little descriptions of these different gifts that really smart folks have categorized for us. That's a great Wednesday night class that we've offered before. That's a great sermon series. Maybe I'll preach sometime. Don't miss the point here. He is making this big point. Get involved. It's as simple as that. He's saying, listen, the Holy Spirit equips you to serve. Get informed, but now, hey, you got some information. Now I want you to get involved. And he gives this description of all these different kind of ways people can serve. Some understand these words of wisdom. Some are able to minister in these different ways. And he kind of gives these descriptions, and he does in the other four, the Holy Spirit does in the other four, in the other three chapters of the four that I've referenced. But I want you to see this today. I want you to see that the Holy Spirit, I think, eliminates some excuses we toss up. Here's some excuses for not getting involved. Write this one down. Number one is inadequacy. We say, I don't have anything to offer. Just as right here in these verses I've read, he's saying in verse 7, hey, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And he says, to one is given, and he begins to list these different gifts that have been given, these different ways the Holy Spirit has equipped us. I think right there what he's trying to blow out of the water is this excuse. We say, I don't have anything to offer. Yes, you do. You have been equipped and gifted by the Holy Spirit to serve for the common good, for the glory of God. This includes everyone. Nobody is left out of this. I think about Moses. Moses is called of God to serve the Lord. What does Moses do? He throws up an excuse, the excuse of inadequacy. What is these? Remember what he said? Moses says, hey, I'm not a good public speaker, Lord. I'm not a good public speaker. I don't know that I'm going to be up to the task. I think about Gideon. Gideon, the book of Judges, Gideon is asked to be this leader, and the Lord obviously is teaching him a lesson as he has him kind of whittle down his army. But remember Gideon's first starting excuse? Gideon's excuse was, hey, listen, I'm inadequate. I'm not up for this. I'm the least in my family. My family is like the least in my clan, and my clan is the least of my tribe. I'm inadequate. Let me just deal with this whole issue of inadequacy. Where does it come from? Why would he? Why would this be important to these Corinthian Christians? I'll give you an example. I think because sometimes we have these feelings of failure. Take your Bible, hold your place there. Go back to chapter 6, same book. Same book. Same people would have heard these words that are now here in the words I'm reading to you. Over in chapter 6, remember who the Corinthian Christians were. Were they folks that just always had it together? No. They get a letter written to them to help them make some changes. And over in chapter 6, I think you get a hint of why they might have felt inadequate. Listen to this. It says here in the Bible, look down at verse 9. Don't be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And listen to what he says in verse 11. And such were some of you. You know the reason sometimes we'll feel inadequate is because we've read our file. We know what we've done, and we feel inadequate. We know we have failed. But listen to the rest of that verse in chapter 6, verse 11. But you were washed. You were sanctified. That's, you know, God has made you his own. He's made you holy. He's growing you. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. Then skip down to the end of that chapter, verse 19. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you? He's saying, listen, you used to be this way, but Jesus Christ has changed your life. He deals with the fear of failure. You see, man, all of us, we are just down deep. We're all just ordinary folks. A great verse on this is Acts chapter 4, verse 13. It talks about Peter. It talks about Peter and John. Now, when we think of Peter and John, we think about like super Christians. Man, they're apostles. Man, they have churches named after them. But you know what the Bible says? The Bible says in that verse of Acts chapter 4 that they were ordinary, unschooled men. Some might have called them inadequate. Yet God, through the Holy Spirit, did extraordinary things. So let's just deal with the excuse of inadequacy. It's so interesting, you know, when Moses makes the excuse to God, what does God say? Oh, Moses, you are a great speaker. You're good. You're being too hard on yourself. No, what does God say? God says, hey, I made your tongue. What does the Lord say to Gideon? Does he give him like this self-esteem pep talk? Yes, you can. You can do it, Gideon. No, he says, I am with you. Let me just deal with the inadequacy right now excuse. Let me just deal with that inadequacy excuse. Remember who the source of your strength is when you serve. A.W. Tozer, he's written a lot of great stuff about the character of God. He said this, Christianity at any given time is strong or weak depending upon her concept of God. He said, I insist upon this and have said it many times, that the basic trouble with the church today is her unworthy concept of God. Folks, there is no other God like our God. He says right here in the first few verses of 1 Corinthians 12, hey, those other gods, they were mute idols, fake, nonsense, no good gods. You have the Holy Spirit at work in and through you. I say down with inadequacy. Another excuse is what I might call indecision. This is where you say, I don't know where to serve. You say, I don't know where to serve. He ends that little section of chapter 12. Look down at verse 11. He says, all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Now what you have there in between verse 7 and verse 11 is you have some of those descriptions of these different spiritual gifts. But bracketing those descriptions is the Apostle Paul saying, hey, each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good, and all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. So we get the big picture. We are empowered, equipped by the Holy Spirit to serve for His glory. We are called to serve for the common good. We're called to serve for the Lord's glory. And He empowers each and every one of us. But let me give you a reason why I think He gives in the four chapters that talk about spiritual giftedness these different examples of these gifts. I think because He wants us to know there are many different ways and many different avenues by which you can serve. Here's the issue that has to be dealt with. We need to look at the opportunities different. Richard Foster says there's a difference between choosing to serve and choosing to be a servant. He says, when I choose to serve, I retain control about who I serve and when I serve. But when I choose to be a servant, I've given up all rights and control. You see, there's a difference between volunteering and saying, Lord, I'm a servant. See, what the Holy Spirit wants to equip us to do is to understand we're the Lord's servant. The Holy Spirit wants to equip me to grow and seize the opportunity to serve, to be a servant of my family, to be a servant of you, to be a servant of my neighbor, to be a servant of strangers. I don't know where to serve. You know what? Our service is only limited by our lack of creativity. Opportunities all around us. And understand this. It's not that the Lord is like, man, who am I going to get to do that? He's not wringing his hands. The Lord God has so chosen to equip us with His Holy Spirit to serve so we can get the enjoyment of experiencing His employment and being used by Him for His glory and bringing pleasure to our Lord God. What a gift we've been given. What a gift of His grace. There's two more excuses, though. And write these both down. Number three is this. I call it indifference. Now, this is the one we don't say out loud, all right? It's saying this, I don't feel like serving. The other excuse is what I call insignificance. It's kind of like the flip side. I'm not really needed. Now, just write those number three, number four down, because there's one big metaphor here right in chapter 12 that you and I have read and we've heard of it, but I don't know that you've ever really come to terms with the power of this picture in Scripture. Because you know what? A lot of us, we've heard passages like this preached. The preacher will get up and he'll do this nice, neat job of parsing the verbs and explaining the grammar and all this and that. And that's all fine and good. And you know what? I could have chosen to do that today. But this is what I pictured in my mind. How did those first Corinthians hear and read this letter? Now remember, mind you, most of them couldn't read it. They had to have somebody else read it to them. And what you have right here in the midst of chapter 12, starting in verse 12, is you have Paul give them a picture. He gives them a metaphor. He gives them an illustration. And don't miss this, because you know what we'll do sometimes in our nice, neat little churches is we'll sit there and we'll take our notes and we'll get our outlines and we got our points alliterated and all this and that. And we will miss the big picture point that the Holy Spirit's trying to get across to us. And we'll leave a little bit smarter, but none the better. So I want you to get the picture here. Look at verse 12. Catch the picture here. For just as the body is one, it's the picture of the body. One of the greatest metaphors of the church in all of Scripture. The body. The body's one and has many members. And all the members of the body, though many, are one body. So it is with Christ. For in one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body. Jews or Greeks, slaves or free. And all were made to drink of one Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit in you, okay? There's no second-class Christians here in this room. For the body then, listen to this now, verse 14. For the body does not consist of one member, but many. He's getting ready to make his major point here. He's trying to help them to understand that each and one of them have the Holy Spirit equipping them to serve in the body of Christ. And he says, he kind of gives this illustration about different body members. If the foot, verse 15, should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less of a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. We were all a single member. Where would the body be? And as it is, there are many parts, yet one body. So get this. We can't say we're indifferent, we don't feel like serving, because we're all part of the body, and we all need each other, and you're needed. And that kind of deals with excuse for insignificance. You say, well, I'm just this. All I've got is this. No, understand the picture there. Every single member of the body is important. Hey, Seth, you like donuts, son? You like donuts? You like Dunkin' Donuts? You like them? Do you really? Come on up here. I'm going to give you one. Come on up. All right? Just come on over here real quick. I want to drive this point home, okay? Now, boys and girls, teenagers, and men and women, I want you to tune in here, okay? Come on up here, son. Just come over here. Just have a seat. Make yourself at home. Just there, you take a load off, man. All right, go ahead. Have a seat. All right? Look at that. Look at that. Yeah. Just pick one. Just go ahead and pick one. All right. Now, just set it down. Set it down there for a minute. Now, are you comfortable? Great. I want you to enjoy yourself. Enjoy your donut. Go ahead. They know where Dunkin' Donuts is. They want one, they get one later, okay? Just go ahead and eat up. Wait. Oh, just only one thing. You can't use your hands. Can't use your hands. Enjoy. What's the matter? It makes it difficult, doesn't it? Well, let me spare you the trouble, because I've seen this now. This is my third time. One young man this morning tried to eat it with his elbows, actually messed up his shirt and all that. I'll have to deal with his mother later probably. But anyhow, you know, it's hard, isn't it? It's a challenge. All right, hey, come over here. Let's try something else. The donut is yours. Okay, I'm gonna let you go back to your seat and you can enjoy it. All right, come on over here for just a second. Just stand here. All right, just stand here. All right, I just want to give one more example here. I'm gonna stand over here. All right, now I'd just like you to come over here. But don't use your legs. Can you come over here? Yeah, you could. I bet you could. It would probably be hard, difficult. I even see you got an injury there, so maybe it'd be harder than I thought. You know, y'all get the point here. You see, what I want to drive home to the folks here today, Seth, is this. Is, you know what, man, your hands are important, aren't they? Your legs are important. Folks, understand this. Each and every member of the body is important. Take your donut, have a seat. Y'all show your appreciation to this young man being a good sport. Now listen. Thanks, man. Understand this. If you're like me, you've heard references made to this chapter of Scripture before. But yet, you know what? We come in and we hear it, and it's like we don't get it. Let me just give you some practical ways on improving your serve. One, operate in the Spirit. Like man, almost 10 times, give or take, the Holy Spirit is referred to in this chapter of the Bible. Operate in the Spirit. We've talked about it the past several weeks. Let me give you something else to improve your serve and to avoid these excuses. Avoid paralysis analysis. What I mean by that is this, is a lot of folks, they will analyze the situation in themselves to the point that they immobilize themselves. And they just never end up doing anything. That's why I want to challenge you. Just look for opportunities to be a servant. Just look for them. They're all around. And then finally, let me just be this blunt. Just start serving. Just start serving. I grew up in a military area. One thing that I appreciate about so many military families that I would meet is all of them knew they had a very limited time, usually like 2 years, to be a part of that church family. And many of them, I noticed this, they would come in and, man, they would just start serving. They would just start being a servant, wherever was needed. Man, the Holy Spirit equips us to serve for the glory of God. You know, I've asked them to prepare this week, and this isn't exhaustive. You know, this is just a shot of this. Just 10 example serving opportunities right here in the Parkway family. And over to the right is the contact person. So you'd see an opportunity, then to the right is the contact person. I even illustrated for you in the beginning of this service that, you know, it can be, and you'll say, well, that's just being an usher. It's just passing out a program. You know what? Let's just stop with the just. That's just. It's just that. Research shows that for so many people who come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and let me remind you, that determines where they will spend their eternity, in either heaven or hell. Where most people start is by a simple invitation by a friend to invite them to come and hear the gospel at church. Next week, we're going to preach the gospel up here, okay? So you bring your friends. God will use you as a servant like this. Research also shows that when many people actually show up to visit a church congregation, their first issue is this: how is it going to come off? Am I going to get a place to park? Are the folks going to seem halfway friendly or halfway open to being there? All these simple ways of serving that we take for granted, they make a difference. They make a difference. I remember when we started this church, I sat in a little basement. A little church office with probably 13-15 folks in this room, and I passed around a clipboard. And on that clipboard, I just said, hey, listen, I want you to write down your name and just write down an area that in which you think you could start serving. Then I passed around another clipboard, and on that clipboard, it simply asked this question: what day will you take your turn in preschool nursery? And you know what? When there's only like 15, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 of you, y'all get it, all right? You get it sometimes a little easier. As we grow as a congregation, what I don't want any of us to miss out on is the opportunity for us to experience, whether you're 6, 16, or 66, for each and every one of us to experience what it means to be a servant. And don't you ever say, well, that is just such a small and significant touch. That's not a big deal. Last night, we'd settled in for family night, going to watch a movie together. Doorbell rings. I ran upstairs because I was wearing pajama pants. I didn't know which one of y'all was showing up at my house unannounced. But I was really excited, all right, that y'all were coming to visit. Jennifer answers the door, and left there at the door is this, like, candy, you know, pumpkin like the kids carry around today, you know. It had some candy in it and a note. But whoever left it had taken off. It's probably like, I don't even know if it's $2 worth of candy. But I want you to know for like the next 30, 45 minutes, that was conversation amongst us. I wonder who did that. Man, that was so sweet. Man, that was so, you know, just a simple random act of kindness like that. Man, it'll get a person's attention just like that. Just realize the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that you had to have work in your life to save you from your sins is the same Holy Spirit that equips you to serve for God's glory. There's a church in San Diego, California that has a statue of Jesus outside of it. Strange statue, though. In the 1980s, the hands of the statue of Jesus were broken off. They'll try to show you a picture. It's a kind of a grainy picture. It's the best one I could find of this statue there without any hands. Instead of replacing the hands, the church decided to put a sign that said that, I have no hands but yours. The Holy Spirit told Paul to say, tell them they're the body of Christ. It helps to have hands, doesn't it, Seth? It sure does. So you know what? Let's take our hands and let's offer to this community, to this world, the gospel of Jesus Christ so they too will have the opportunity to see how sweet the love of God really is. Bow your heads with me in prayer. The worship team is going to come up and get assembled. As your heads are bowed, let me just ask you to think about this today as we wrap this up. We're going to sing a song that says, it's a prayer to God saying, God, give us clean hands. And if you're here today in the service when we sing this song, first of all, if you're here and you're not sure that you have yielded your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, but you're having what you might, it feels like that's what the Lord wants you to do. Hey, understand this. The Bible says that that's from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is leading you to confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So if you're not clear that you've ever really done that, I'm going to invite you during this song for you to step out of your seat and come down front so we can know who you are and we can talk with you and we can pray with you and we can get started and help you to understand what that means. Number two, maybe you're here today and you want to officially become a part of this congregation, of this fellowship, of this visible body of Christ in this community. We invite you to come forward and to talk with one of our ministers about that decision. You may be here right now and you want to just make this your prayer that when you go out of this room today, you'll just know that God is at work in your life and you'll seek opportunities to allow His Holy Spirit to shout out of your life, Jesus is Lord. So I look across this room right now, I know where so many of you are being servants. I think about ministering to the ladies in their prison. I think about setting up chairs, ministering with children, going overseas, singing. I could go on and on and on as I look around this room and I see so many servants. The Holy Spirit equips us to serve. See that couch? That's the way it's meant to be. Empty. Let's empty the bleachers and hit the field for the glory of God. It's His Holy Spirit that equips us. Father, move among us.